Kala Perek Dalet Mishnah Ches 4:8. There's a lot going on in this Mishnah, so it needs a bit of introduction. The topic here is the three different zones where there are different halachas regarding how one takes challah. So the first zone is Eretz Yisrael proper. And that's the part of Eretz Yisrael that was reconquered when the Jews came back from Bavel, meaning the Second Temple period. They reconquered most of what was Eretz Yisrael from before. And that's Eretz Yisrael Mamash, the proper Eretz Yisrael. And it was invested in what's called Kedusha Shnia, the second investment of sanctity. Fine. The second zone is a slightly larger part of what once was Eretz Yisrael. That was the part which was conquered when the Jews first came into Eretz Yisrael with Yehoshua. And that land, although it's now treated like Chutz La'aretz, in many respects, because after the Jews were exiled at the end of the First Temple period, so that Kedusha lapsed, that's why Paskin, and that land stopped having its Kedusha invested in it, which means that when the Jews came back 70 years later, things started again. And since the area that the Jews settled the second time was smaller than the first time, you have part of the land of Eretz Yisrael, which, although promised to the Jews prior to their coming in, and even conquered and controlled by the Jews and being invested with Kedushas Eretz Yisrael once upon a time, in the time of Yehoshua, stopped being Eretz Yisrael and Bayis Sheni. So that land, which once did have a Chiyav Midoraiser of Challah, does not have the Chiyav Midoraiser anymore. The first zone, the part that was conquered by the Ole Bavel, the ones who came in Bayis Sheni, that place has a Doraiser Chiyav, and the second zone is only a Chiyav Midorabanan, because it was no longer controlled by the Jews and wasn't invested with the Kedusha that was in perpetuity, meaning although there was Kedusha invested in the land during Bayis Rishon, that Kedusha lapsed and no longer had a status of Eretz Yisrael once the Jews were kicked out. Now, just as a side point, but an important point, Bizman HaZeh, really throughout Bayis Sheni, even though I say there is a Chiyav Doraisa in that part of Eretz Yisrael that the Jews conquered, we'll call that Zone 1, Eretz Yisrael Mamash. Even then, throughout Bayis Sheni until this very day, there is no Chiyav Doraisa to take Chal. It's all Durabanan and truth. And the reason why is because even if you hold that there's, let's say, other mitzvahs, like, say, Trumas and Maestras have a Chiyav Doraisa, when it comes to Challah, the Pasuk specifies Bevoachem, when you come in. And the understanding there is Bevias Kulchem below Bevias Miktzaschem. If you have to have the majority of the Jews coming back in Eretz Yisrael, and until they're in Eretz Yisrael, so the Chiyav of Challah is only Durabanan. So we'll actually have a zone which is potentially Chayav Midoraisa, that's Eretz Yisrael Mamish, the Ole Bavel zone, but the Chiyav is anyways Midorabanan. Then we'll have a second zone further out, which is a little more expansive, which is the original Eretz Yisrael, the Ole Mitzrayim, zone 2, if you will, and that's also going to have a Chiyav Midorabanan of taking Challah. But there, even if the majority of Jews were back in Eretz Yisrael, it still would just be Durabun, at least during the time of Bayis Sheni, when those were the borders. In addition, there's the third zone, which is further out. Beyond the part of Eretz Yisrael, which was at least Eretz Yisrael in the time of Bayis Rishon, that's just considered Chutz La'aretz proper, and that includes anything, you know, far out in Syria and beyond, certainly to Bavel and, you know, Australia, etc. Oh, that's the third zone, which is totally Durabunan. But there is a Chiyav Durabanan to take Challah, and the reason why is because Chazal were afraid that people might forget the mitzvah of taking Challah, and therefore there's a mitzvah to take Challah even in Chutz La'aretz, and certainly if you live in London or in New York or wherever it is, even Bizman HaZeh, you're taking Challah. It's all Midurabanan, and of course it only could be Midurabanan because it's not part of Eretz Yisrael. Now, there's a separate issue, which is that the Chazal decreed that the Chutz La'aretz, the land outside of Eretz Yisrael, should be Tamei. The actual land and air of Chutz La'aretz, the land outside of Israel, is Tamei. And that, of course, means that any Truma taken there will automatically become Tamei because it's in that land. So even though there is, and that applies even to the parts of the geography that once was Eretz Yisrael and Bayis Rishon, but it no longer is, meaning the Zone 2. So there's going to be a Chiyav to take Challah Midoraban in Zone 2, but the Challah will automatically and certainly become Tamei because Chazal or Masakin, they made a decree that all of those lands are Tamei. Fine. So with that in mind, it's going to come out then that there are going to be three different zones. Zone 1, which has the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael proper. Zone 2, the area that once had the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael and Bais Rishon, but no longer. And Zone 3, beyond that, which is totally never had Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. And there'll be a chiyuv to take chal in all three zones, but because of this Tumah issue, then the way one takes chal in those three zones are different. And the Mishnah is going to spell that out. The Mishnah starts out by saying, Rabban Gamliel Omer, Shalosh Aratzos L'chala. There are three separate zones with respect to the halachas of how one takes challah. Me'eretz Yisrael va'ad Kaziv. In Eretz Yisrael, up to the northern border of the place called Kaziv. The exact location of Kaziv is not clear. One possibility is it's where modern-day Rosh HaNikra is, roughly, meaning it's north, about 10 miles or whatever it is, north of Akko. And that's the upper, wherever it is, that's the upper boundary of Eretz Yisrael. That's challah achas. One takes one challah, the normal challah, and the Mishnah's consideration, the assumption is that you'll take the challah, as we described throughout the whole Masechta, give it to a kohen, the kohen will eat it, he has to be tahor, it has to be kept bitahara, etc. Now, beyond that, mechaziv, from the place of kaziv, va'ad ha-nahar, va'ad ha-mana, to some further out boundary. It's not clear exactly where this is, there are different shitas. In the most loose terms, let's call it Lebanon, okay? But it's modern-day Lebanon, but that's not correct. It's just to give you an idea if you want to draw a map in your head, so to speak. So that zone was part of Eretz Yisrael and Bais Rishon, so it's zone number 2, but now no longer. The rule is shtei chalos, achas la'ur va'achas la'kohen. One actually has to take chala twice in that second zone. One will be for the ur means fire, meaning one goes to be burned immediately. Va'achas la'kohen, the second one is given to a kohen to eat. Now, the reason why we have this dinder abundant of taking challah is so it shouldn't be forgotten, but the concern was that if you would separate challah and then immediately burn it in the lands that are just bordering Eretz Yisrael, there was a concern that people would see that and then people would think that true challah is being burned immediately, and even it was tahor, and people would make a mistake. And therefore, the setup was, the rabbi said, listen, we're going to give challah twice, and that will be so peculiar that you're giving two challahs, one that's getting burned immediately, and one that's being given to Kohen and eaten, that people will ask what's going on if they don't know. And by asking what's going on, if they don't know, they'll find out that all these details we're explaining here, I'm explaining presently, and therefore one would not come to make the mistake of thinking that you could burn challah, etc., which is an issur. You can't burn challah if it's tahor. Okay, so we have two challahs being separated. The first challah, as the Mishnah says now, shel ur, that first challah, which is separated and going to be burned in a fire, yesh la shiur, it has to be done according to the proper shiur, the requisite amount, which is 1/48. Mm-hmm. Now, the reason why it's 1/48 is because if you recall back from the second parak Mishnah Zion, we said that if you have dough that becomes tame b'shogeg or ba'onas, if its circumstances beyond your control, that's onus. So then we said you're allowed to take the 48th, not the 24th, even if you're a private person. And although the Bar Tanura does say 1/24th is a possibility here, either it's a mistake, and the Kisfeya, the manuscripts don't have that words, a 24th, or just jumps to 48th, or else it's just a kasha on the Bar Tanura. But anyways, Babashas, it's a 48th, and that's simple and straightforward enough. That's the first one that goes into the fire. And Vishal Cohen, as for the second one, that's Ainless Shear. That has no Shear. In other words, we're giving any old amount, any tiny amount to a Cohen to eat. Again, the reason why is the whole point of that second separation of Challah for a Cohen to eat is just to do something really strange so people will inquire why the first one went into the fire, to not misunderstand the rules regarding burning Tahor, Truma, and Challah. Okay. As for the third zone, min hanar va'ad ha-mana ulifnim, again, the geography is not perfectly clear what it's referring to, but what it means is lands further north. We'll call that, for argument's sake, if we called zone 2 Lebanon, if you will. Zone 3 is like Syria and into Iraq, etc. And then, of course, forever further after that, all the way around to North America, whatever it is. All those places, shtei chalos, also there'll be two chalos separated. Achas the urva, achas the kohen, one that gets burned and one that gets given to the kohen. The rationale is similar. We're doing it twice, but here the reason why we're taking the first one is because so that the mitzvah of challah shouldn't be forgotten in chutz la'aretz. But since really it's not even challah, right? There never could be challah, it's chutz la'aretz. So therefore, we'll let the smaller amount get burned. And that way that we have a separate challah given. We don't want to forget that kohanim are supposed to be eating challah. So we'll, that's the second one is called the ikkar, the essential challah given. And that being the case, we'll see in a second that that is the one that has the requisite shear. You give the challah 1/48 to a kohen to eat. Now, first I'll read the words inside. That's what the words say. It says, shtei chalos achas la'ur va'achas la'kohen. You'll separate two challahs, one that goes burning and one that goes to the kohen. As far as about who gets to burn it, it's machlokas acharonim. If you give it to the kohen to burn or you keep it for yourself, then you burn it yourself. Either way, shel ur, the first one, the first challah that's separated in zone 3 in the chutz la'aretz, ein la shiur, there's no amount. Any little amount will do. Vishel kohen, and the second one that's given to the kohen, yesh la shiur, it should be given in the proper amount, meaning a 48, and that way the kohen has something substantial to eat. Anyways, if you're going to give something that's going to be eaten, why should we let the one that's getting some benefit to the kohen, the one that's eaten, be the one that we give more, the requisite amount. Now, a bit of clarification is required on this din also. The truth is that if you have a kohen who is readily accessible and can eat your truma right now, so then only one challah is required to be separated. I said eat your truma, I really should have said eat your challah right now. So then you only need to take one challah. So even though the Mishnah is saying you could take two challahs in chutz la'aretz, is one number 3, that's only where there's no kohen handy to eat challah. Therefore, you're going to take one for the fire and the second one save for later when you find a kohen. But if you have a kohen who's handy now, who's eligible for eating this challah now, so then you only need to take one challah. You'll take it right then and there. You'll take it kashi'ur, the proper amount, 1/48. It could even be a 24th. And if you're a private person, and you will give that to a kohen to eat, and you will not have any challah going to the fire. Now, to be eligible as a kohen to eat this challah in chutz la'aretz, we only require that you don't have a tuma hayotze megufo, that you aren't yourself, your person, your body, the kohen's person or body, the source of tuma, which means a kohen who is a balkeri or a zav would be ineligible. And if the person who's eating it is the kohen's wife, that would include a nida or a yoledes or a zava. And the Rambam adds the list also the metzora, as someone who's a tumiyot megufo. So those people cannot eat this truma, this challah, which is the in chutz la'aretz. But to clarify, other tamei kohanim that have tumas maga, they came into physical contact with something which made them tamei, meaning it's not that they're bodies are the sources of the tuma, but rather something extraneous, exogenous, outside of them was the source of the tuma. So for example, the kohen touched a dead rat or touched a dead body even though touching a dead body puts you in a more severe state of tuma, it doesn't matter. That person, that kohen, could eat the first challah separated in chutz la'aretz. It's only a tuma yotz megufo, one who's the source of the tuma itself, who cannot. Okay. Fine. That's the case. Now, in that third zone, we're talking about the when it comes to the challah that's been given to a kohen, we're going to now list, Mishnah will now list three kulas, three leniencies that apply to that challah. The first is that on that first challah that you're giving to a kohen, so we're going to be lenient and say that utvul yom ochla, that a tevul yom is allowed to eat that challah. What are we talking about? We're talking about, again, in chutz la'aretz, where there's no chiyah medoraisa ever at all to separate challah. But the rabbi said we should separate it, so we shouldn't forget it. We said you can give it to a kohen, and if you give it to a kohen, only one challah is necessary if you give it to him right away. So the kohen who's eligible, I said, can't be a tuma yotz magufo kind of kohen, the kohen that's a zav or a balkeri, etc. So now, normally when it comes to truma and challah in general, so if a person had been a balkeri or a zav, etc., same with the yoledes, same with the zava and the nida, all those people have to go to the mikvah at some point. When they come out of the mikvah, let's focus on the zav for a second, okay? The zav or the Baal Keri, when they come out of the mikvah, they're called a tevul yom. That is to say, they still have a status of being a shein l'tuma. They still have a vestige of tuma with them. And therefore, since truma, and remember chala is a kind of truma, since truma and chala becomes pasul, invalid, if it comes into contact with the shein l'tuma, and this guy who's a tevul yom, who's gone to the mikvah but hasn't yet had hair of shemesh, the three stars haven't come out yet, he's still a shein l'tuma, he has the vestige of tuma. As a sheni, he could not eat truma or chala under normal circumstances. But this chala in chutz la'aretz that we're giving to a kohen to eat, just so we shouldn't forget that there's such a thing as separating chala when we get back to Eretz Yisrael, we're very lenient with that chala. And we're going to say that as long as the kohen, even if the kohen were tame with you know, tumas magi, he touched a dead body, he could eat it. So too, if the kohen were tumayotz magufo kohen, he was a baal keri or a zav, and we're saying that he cannot eat the truma, but once he goes to the mikvah, even though it's still a shein l'tuma, as a tevul yom, he still could eat the truma, eat the challah. So, the Mishnah therefore is saying, we're going to have three kulas here, this is the first of three, that apply to that challah that is separated in the chutz la'aretz to give to a kohen. Let me clarify. If you don't have a kohen handy, and you separate the challah, and therefore, since you have no kohen handy who's eligible, you're going to burn that challah. The second challah you give, kashur, that amount, that challah, that can be given to, as we'll see later on in the Mishnah, essentially any kohen, even if he's tummy, because there's no doraisa challahness about it, so it shouldn't be forgotten. And we're going to give it to kohanim, and they can eat it, even if they're tummy, no problem. That second challah, because the original challah was burned. But here, when we're talking about the three leniencies, the first being that tevul yom could eat this challah, we're talking about the first challah, which is given to Kohen directly, and then there's nothing going to be burned in chutz la'aretz. Rabbi Yossi even more lenient. Rabbi Yossi says, Eino tzarch tevila. Rabbi Yossi says, at least, and the pshat here is we're talking about a baal keri, who really, it's the zera itself, it's the keri that is the avatum, and the baal keri becomes rishon, because he came in contact with the keri, so it's like a very lenient, weak sort of tumah. That guy, says Rabbi Yossi, doesn't even need to go to the mikvah before he eats this truman chutz la'aretz. Halacha is not like him, like the Tana Kama. But even Rabbi Yossi agrees, v'asur lezavim v'lezavos lenida v'yoledes, v'yoldos, excuse me. But even Rabbi Yossi agrees that the other kohanim who have tumiyot magufo, meaning zavim for men, Zavos for women, Nida for women, Yoledas, Yoldos for women, and the Rambam adds the Metzora. Those people cannot eat this Truma in Chutz La'aretz, the first separation, La'ur, the one that's going to the fire, La'ur separation, and they cannot eat it. Fine. So Rabbi Yossi is just arguing on the Baal Keri person. Second Kula is V'ne'echeles im Hazar ala Shulchan. You can eat this Truma in a Chutz La'aretz if you're a Kohen. Excuse me, I keep on saying truma, but it's challah, same thing. You can eat this challah in chutz la'aretz that was separated for the kohen. And now the normal rule is that when a kohen eats truma or challah, he may not have non-kohanim at the table lest they accidentally eat it. The rule is like gezera ha'ala atu achila. They don't let you even like bring it onto the same table with the non-kohen, the czar, lest he accidentally eat this truma or this challah, which is misa b'dei shamayim, death at the hands of heaven. It's a bad, severe penalty. But since, anyways, in chutz la'aretz, the challah that we give to the kohen is not a challah at all. It's just a zecher. You shouldn't forget the challah. It's not challah, and there's no iser misa b'dei shamayim, nothing like that. We don't have the gezera of ha'ala atu achila, and therefore, v'ne'echeles im hazar ala shulchan, says the Mishnah, the Kohen who's eating this challah in chutz la'aretz can have non-Kohanim sitting at the same table with him. We're not afraid that they're going to eat from this challah. And we have therefore no din derabanan against them. And even if they would, it'd just be a din derabanan, which is fine. We don't do a gezerah for that. The third kula for this chutz la'aretz challah that you give to a Kohen immediately as opposed to the fire is v'nitenes l'chol Kohen. You can give it to any Kohen you want, meaning the normal rule is that you can't give truma or challah to a Kohen that's in Am Ha'aretz. We're afraid that the Am Ha'aretz is going to be metame, this challah or truma that you give him, and therefore you have to give it only to a Kohen who can be relied upon to keep truma tahara properly. But not the case here with this rabbinic chutz la'aretz truma. You can give it to any Kohen you want, even a Kohen who's in Am Ha'aretz, and he can eat it. We're not afraid of him being tame. Truth is, there is a little more to be said about what the pshat is when it says any Kohen, but we'll say that for the next Mishnah because this recording has gone quite long.